Thank you. That was excellent. Let's go to the book of Luke today for a little bit. Luke chapter 23. Thankful to see each of you today, and we also welcome those who are watching by the internet. And I know we have several who do. We refer to them as those who are in the pajama church. We hope that the service will be a blessing to those folks and to each of you as well. We do meet together today to observe the Lord's Supper. This is a supper our Savior instituted just the evening before he died on the cross. And it is by this supper, by the bread and by the wine, that we remember the Lord's death until he comes again. As I was thinking about this occasion that brings us together, and especially this ordinance that we will partake of, I was thinking about all the events that happened at Calvary. And I'll just use the last song that we sang. I'll use that as the very title for the message this morning at Calvary. Luke 23 and verse 32. Luke 23:32. There were also two other malefactors or evil doers. That's what the word means. They were led with him to be put to death. Our brother read to us from Isaiah chapter 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. And indeed he was. He was to die on the middle cross, for they considered him to be the most guilty, the most, the worst of the three men who would die. Then we're reading verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Note those words at the beginning of verse 33, when they were come to the place. Not any place, the place, which is called Calvary. It's the only location in the Scriptures where this word is used. We speak much about Calvary, at Calvary, what happened at Calvary. And yet this is the only place in the Scriptures where the word is used. And it's very much akin to the word Golgotha that is found in Matthew, Mark, and also in John, because it means the place of a skull. Our Lord then is come to die at Calvary. There have been many efforts to kill Jesus of Nazareth. They've all failed. You know, after our Lord was born, Satan entered into the heart of Herod. He was jealous of Jesus, who's the King of the Jews. And when the wise men came to Jerusalem, They began to ask people, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Immediately, the literal king, King Herod, he wanted to put him to death, put the Son of God to death. So he issued a edict to the wise men, and he said, "When you locate him, you let me know, and then I'll go and worship him." And of course, what he wanted to do is he wanted to kill Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord informed the wise men that this man's up no good. And so, of course, they didn't come kitchen of Jesus of Nazareth. And Herod was so angry that he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to issue this statute that all the male babies throughout the land die or 2 years old and under. And the scripture says there was great grief in that part of the world. There was an effort put forth to murder Jesus of Nazareth, but it failed. Throughout our Lord's earthly life, they often tried to put him to death. We read that they sometimes tried to stone him. In Luke chapter 4, they took him up on top of the very top of the temple where he was led there, and then they were ready to kill him, and he escaped through their midst. And other times they tried to stone him to death, and just over and over again, every effort was made to kill Jesus of Nazareth, but they all failed. They all failed. For you see, in the purpose of God, it had already been ordained that he would die in a place called Calvary. He's not going to die anywhere else. He's not going to die until God the Father says it's time for him to die. The purpose of God determined he would die at Calvary. The heart of God designed Calvary. And the very hand of God brought about Calvary. He must die at Calvary, the place of a skull. Make no mistake about it, it was to this place called Calvary that our Lord Jesus had been aiming throughout his earthly ministry. As soon as he was baptized, he was ultimately going toward Calvary. When Satan met him in the wilderness and he was bombarded for 30 days and 30 nights by the devil with all kinds of temptations, he was on his way to Calvary. When he was at Jacob's well and he was led there to save a sinner, a harlot, when he showed her that he was the Messiah, he was the Son of God, he had the water of life, the water of salvation, he was on his way to Calvary. Later, when he healed a man who had been lame for 38 years, he's on his way to Calvary. When on his last leg of his journey, he was getting near to Jericho, he saw a man who was blind and he was begging, and the man said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Our Lord Jesus stopped. He gave him his sight and forgave him of his sins. And our Lord went into Jericho, and in Jericho, all the while on his way to Calvary now, he looks up into a sycamore tree. He sees a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And he says, you come down to the day I must abide at thy house, because this day salvation has come to you. Our Lord was on his way to Calvary. When he entered into the city of Jerusalem, riding upon an ass's colt, amid all the shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna to the highest. He's on his way to this place called Calvary. Hosanna means save us, be propitious to us, be merciful to us, be our mercy seat, be the satisfaction of divine justice for us. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of God, to the Son of David, they cried. The night before he died, when he sat with his disciples in the upper room, and he finished the last Passover meal, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. He took the bread and he took the wine. He broke the bread and gave it to them. He poured the wine and gave it to them. He's on his way to Mount Calvary. Our Lord Jesus really, he's been on his way to Mount Calvary since before the world was made. And the thing he didn't say he desired it. He wanted it. Because this is the only way God could save sinners. When I think about Calvary, I think about the awfulness of that which nailed him to the cross. And the only thing that could put it away, sin away, his own death. I know that sin has put us under the wrath of God. The Scripture says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I know we quickly utter the word, S-I-N, sin. But it's an awful thing. Every single sin is an awful thing. And here's the thing, folks. I was watching a television program this morning for a little bit, and this lady said, I know each of us has broken at least one of 10 commandments. And she said, many maybe have broken even two. This is what people fail to understand. It isn't just what we do. It's what we say. It's what we think. It's what we imagine. And really, it's what we are. What we are. Our Lord Jesus one day was talking to his disciples, and the disciples said to him, they said, Lord, you've offended the Pharisees, the religious, the really religious people, the people that, you know, they went to church real frequently. They gave of all that they possessed. They fasted. Their religion was for others to see. And they said to him, you've offended them. And our Lord said, don't you understand that which goes into the body doesn't defile it. Now listen, you should be responsible as to what you put in your body. Moderation in all things is what the Scripture teaches. But this is not our dilemma. This is not our real problem, what we put into the body. The real issue is what's coming out of it. Coming out of our heart. And the Lord Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil speaking, all these other things, they all come forth from an evil heart. So I'm saying this, don't ever speak lightly of sin. It's an awful thing. It's a transgression against God. God who made you, God who provides for you, God who sustained you. Every mercy you receive every single day, God gives them to you. Do you know that? You look this side of you and you see a family member that you love with all your heart. God gave you that family member. You think, I've been so blessed to have a good job. Those of you who've earned your retirement and now you're enjoying the golden years. Thank God. God gave you that job. God gave you the wisdom. God gave you the strength. God gave you the ability to do what you do. All of these things God has provided abundantly for us. And the thing of it is, how have we rewarded God? If the Scripture says God is not at all in our thoughts. We're much like, you know, I was raised out in the country and used to raise pigs. And had an oak tree, and they'd eat those acorns. But they never did look up to the oak tree as if to say, thank you for dropping the acorns so I can eat them. No. And you know, we're very much like that. We consume all the good things that God gives us every day. All the mercies that God gives us every day. And I know God isn't gracious to everybody, but He's merciful to everybody. His mercy is over all of His works. But we don't think about God. We don't render to God the glory that He deserves. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy mind, soul, all your heart, and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But that's not the way we are. Now, come on, let's just be honest. We're not like that. You know what that makes us? It makes us sinners. That means we're all sinners. It doesn't matter who you are. It starts with me. It starts with me. I am guilty. Sin's an awful thing. You know, it's rebellion against God. It's lack of thanksgiving. It's lack of worship. It's not doing what God told us to do. It's doing what God told us not to do. It's having an evil imagination. It's having wrong motives. The Bible says that our motive should always be for God's glory. Everything for God's glory. Being aware of and very much conscious of God's glory. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to lift up a fork, to lift up a glass of water, to embrace my family. Thank you, God, and I do this, I receive this, I think this, I say this for your glory. But do we do that? Let's be honest now. We don't do that. You know what that makes us? Sinners. Sinners. We've defined God. Oh, what an awful evil sin is. And if you want to know just how bad it is, look what it took to put it away. Now that's where you go. You go, you know, I can say, oh, sin and all of its blackness, sin and all of its awfulness. But really, if you want to know how awful sin is, look to the price that had to be paid to put it away. It took the death of the Son of God. It took God coming down here. Think of that. God coming down here. God who spoke all things into existence in 6 days. He made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. He is our great creator. He is our great giver. He is the giver of all things. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. James chapter 1 says that. And this great God, in order to save the guilty, in order to do something about this issue of our awful sinfulness, which like a barrier stood between us and God, God had to come down here to do something about it. That's how bad sin is. He's got to leave heaven above, the very Son of God. He's got to join Himself to our nature. He must be born of a virgin. He must enter into this world that didn't receive Him. The world didn't say, oh, wonderful, wonderful, He's finally come. No, the Scripture says in John chapter 1, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. His own received Him not. His own world that He had made, that He provided for, His own received Him not. His own nation, His nation that He had given to them His Word. He had given to them the tabernacle in the wilderness. He had given to them all of the sacrifices. He had given to them David and Solomon and all of the other kings of Israel. He had given to them the prophets. He had given to them the Word of God. Israel, the people of God, a nation that God had blessed. They didn't receive Him either. And His own family, they didn't receive Him either. God comes into this world and the whole world turns thumbs down on Him. And all of the religious leaders, I mean, we're talking about the who's who in religion. The big dogs of religion, the big wheels. I'm not talking about peons like me. I'm not talking about little people. I'm talking about world-renowned religious leaders. They all said, we will not have this man rule over us. Why did he come down here? Because that's what it's going to take to do something about this issue. But it's not enough for him to just enter into the world. He's got to die. He's got to die. You say, I've seen pictures of him dying. I've read of his death. Why did he have to die? Here's the reason. Because God in His justice, God in His absolute holiness, He must punish sin. God is a righteous judge. You say, but God is love. Yes, He is. God is gracious. Yes, He is. God is merciful. Yes, He is. And God is also holiness. And God is also righteous in all of His ways. And God has a law. And the law says the soul that sins shall die. And nobody is going to live forever unless there is a suitable sacrifice to die in the stead of guilty folks like us.
Amen.
That's why He came into the world. That's why He had to die. That's what Calvary is all about. At Calvary, we sang it a while ago. At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not that for me He died at Calvary. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. I didn't know why He had to die. But now I do know why He had to die, so that God might be just and justify the ungodly like you and me. That's the reason. That's why there had to be a Calvary. Many years ago, a man of great religious standing went over to Jerusalem, and he stood at the location where supposedly Jesus had died. And he said, I'll tell you, if I'd have been here, I'd have put a stop to the whole thing. He had to die. Don't you see that? That's what that preacher did, and I feel so sorry for somebody that doesn't understand that, doesn't comprehend that. He had to die. If we're going to live, if we're going to live forever, if all those He represented, all those for whom He died, all those for whom He shed His blood, if we're going to live in heaven forever and ever and ever in wonderful, blissful, everlasting life, then Jesus of Nazareth must die. He must suffer everything that all of our sins demand.
Amen.
And He did. Amen. That's why He died at Calvary. At Calvary. It was no easy thing to put sin away. Throughout the Old Testament, you begin even in Genesis chapter 4. You go all the way to the end of the Old Testament and even into a good bit of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John up until our Lord died. You know what happened? Animals were sacrificed. Offerings galore. I mean, rivers of blood. Rivers of blood flowed. But the Scripture says the blood of bulls and goats could not put away sin. Couldn't put away sin. All of them together couldn't put away sin. Because if they had put away sin, the Lord Jesus wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have gone to Calvary. No work of man can put sin away. I'll be a better person, you say. Well, yeah, you ought to be a better person. I hope I'm a better person. I've met some wonderful people. My nurse is here this morning, the one that attended to me so tenderly, and my wife and I said, the Lord sent us an angel, like an angel came, and she took good care of me. And I'm thankful for everybody who provided for me and for all the good work that she did and others did for me. I'm thankful for the doctor who attended to me and who are still trying to put me back together. I'm very thankful for them, and I'm thankful for the good work, the good labor. I'm thankful for those who ministered to you when you were in the hospital a couple of days ago, and others of our congregation. I'm so thankful for the good works that they did. But you know what? Good works can't put sin away. Now listen, you should be a very tender and kind people. And I admonish you to be there. You should be the best neighbor on your street. You should be the very best worker at your job. Yeah, I do believe that. But let's not misunderstand anything here now. That doesn't put you in good standing with God. We ought to be that way with one another, right? We should be. We should be a kind people, a caring people. I hope I am. I want to be. And I hope as a result of going in the hospital and the things that I've endured and the things that I've watched and beheld, I hope I'm the better for it. I hope I'm not so hard-headed I still can't learn a few things and be better off for some of the afflictions that God sends me. And the same for you. But if we did nothing but what we call good works the rest of our life, it wouldn't put even one sin away.
Amen.
Not one. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
That's what the Scripture says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He has saved us. Listen, if we did something to get us into God's good standing, to get us to heaven, when we got to heaven, people would never hear the end of it. Well, let me tell you what I did to get here. But the fact of the matter is, everybody who goes to heaven goes the very same way, by the grace of God, through the sacrifice of this one who died at Calvary.
Amen.
Right? We all go the same way. And in this congregation, and those of you who are watching, there aren't big sinners and little sinners. We're all sinners in need of the grace and mercy of God, and it's only to be found in one place. That's the Lord Jesus who died at Calvary.
Amen.
And I bid you come to Him. He's an able Savior. He's an able Savior. But works can't put sin away. I'll tell you something else. Faith can't put it away either. I do admonish you to believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I admonish you to repent. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But neither faith nor repentance can put sin away. Why not? It cannot satisfy God's justice. That's the thing. You see, and I know salvation is experienced. And we rejoice that God reveals Christ Jesus to our hearts. But it's very much a legal matter. It is a legal matter. Everything's got to be made right with God. God will not compromise His law and His justice, not even to save you. He's got to strike out against sin, doesn't He? He's got to strike out against sin. Because sin is so opposed to God. It's so against God. And I'll tell you, talking about putting sin away, even God Himself can't just say, okay, sin, get out of here. And He can make a world by saying the word. You're talking about something mind-baffling. God spake, and it was all done. Marvelous. He spake. He just had to say the word. There was all darkness, and then God said in this one, light be. And all of a sudden the lights came on. All around the world, light be. All He had to do was say the word. But He can't just say the word and get rid of sin. Can't do it. Contrary to His character. He'd have to give up the idea of being God to do that, and that'll never happen. If sin's to be put away, it must be removed and put away by the sin atoning death and sacrifice of the Mediator, Christ Jesus the Lord. He's got to endure the very penalty for sin by dying in our room, in our stead, and in our place. The Scripture says that all the sins of God's people were made to meet on Him. You read the Scripture, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has made to meet on him the iniquity of us all. He removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. I love that verse of the song that we sing quite often. It is well with my soul. The verse that says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No judgment for us. Why is there no judgment for us? Because judgment was poured out upon the Son of God. It's a very blessed Old Testament illustration. On the day of the great day of atonement, Israel's day of atonement, Aaron the high priest, he would take two goats, just regular goats. Okay. One of them he'd cast lots for them. One of them would be for the Lord, and then the other one was nicknamed the scapegoat. The goat that was for the Lord had to die. There, that pictured the death of our Lord Jesus. There's all of Israel. They all deserve death. The goat dies in their stead. Aaron catches the blood, goes into the Holy of Holies. There within the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant, that box. On top of that box is the golden mercy seat, the lid. Having captured that blood, he goes into the Holy of Holies and he takes a bunch of hyssop. He dips it in the blood. He shakes it seven times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times on the mercy seat. That's substitution. Satisfaction. Then he goes out and all the host of Israel, they're just breathless, watching as he represents them. Because he pictures the Lord Jesus, our great high priest. Then he goes out and there's that other goat. That first goat died. That's the goat for the Lord. The second goat is the scapegoat. He takes that goat and he puts his hands on the head of that goat. He says, oh God, forgive the sins of this people. And in a, not a real way, but a symbolic way, the sins of all of Israel, they were transferred to the goat in a symbolic way, which speaks to us of transference of our guilt to the Lord Jesus. See, that goat did nothing wrong. Just like our Lord Jesus did nothing wrong. We did all the wrong. He's the innocent victim. And all of our sins have been transferred to Him. All the sins of the people that God gave to Christ in covenant grace. Well, Aaron transfers the sins of those, the sins of Israel in a symbolic way, putting his hands on the head of the goat. And he looks through the congregation and he says, I'm looking for a fit man. You there, brother so-and-so, come down here. And here's all these thousands and thousands of Israelites, and they're just quiet as can be. You could hear a pin drop. Here comes this fit man, and Aaron says, now you take this goat. You take this goat out there in the wilderness. I want you to go so far that we can't even see you anymore. You, when you look back and you can't see us, then you can let this goat go. And you come back without him. So he leads that goat out of town. There they go, and everybody watches. Out of the camp of Israel, everybody watches. Because he's all the way out of sight. And nobody moves. If there isn't an intermission, nobody's dismissed. Everybody's just watching. And here in a little bit, here comes that fit man walking back by himself. They say, "Where's the goat?" Oh, he's out there in the wilderness somewhere. We say, "What is that picture?" That picture's the result of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. What did he do? He put our sin away. He took them plumb away. They'll never be brought up against us. You say, for whom did he die? Well, he died for his elect. They're called his sheep. They're called those the Father chose. He died for sinful people like you and me. He died for the needy. He died for those who are spiritually poverty-stricken. And I want to say this to you today. If you need this Savior, if you need this salvation, if God the Spirit has worked in your heart, then I just bid you come to Him. In fact, the Spirit of God, if He's working in your heart, He will bid you come. He will draw you to Him. He is an able Savior. And I'll give you an illustration of that from this very passage of Scripture. The thief on the cross. Believing thief. You know what our Lord said to him? In response to the man saying, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Lord Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you." Verily. He used that word when he was preaching. Remember, so often when our Lord was preaching, he used the word verily. Here he is at the cross preaching. He says, "Verily I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise." And if there are any thieves in here, thieves, those who are guilty, He's the Lord Jesus Christ who died in the stead of sinners. And oh, what good news. He didn't stay dead, but He arose. And He ascended, and He ever lives to make intercession for us. I want us to sing a song, and then we'll have the offering, and then we'll have a...